guys, the stack is back. Welcome into Stack and Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. After a nice long summer off with a little Olympics sprinkled in, it's good to see the boys back in action. Last night, preseason game, took on the Sacramento Kings and made it rain, hit 28 three-pointers, one off the NBA regular season record, I may add. I think they shot up over 55%. And basically the first half, you learned a lot about what this team is going to become and what the priority is. And that is shooting and raining three-pointers. The irony is that obviously with Klay Thompson gone, you lose one of the best shooters of all time, number two in my opinion. But with the additions we made, we're talking a little bit of D'Anthony Melton. We're talking a little bit and a lot of Buddy Hield, especially last night, 6 for 7 on three-pointers, could not miss. And even Kyle Anderson gives you a little bit of front court shooting. Yes, it is the ugliest three-point shot that you'll ever see. But it's been a little reworked. And, you know, if he can go 1 for 1 or, you know, just at least be in the mid-30s, percentage-wise for the season on low volume. He gives you a little bit of a stretch 4, sometimes stretch 5 option shooting that 3. I think last year was really bad for him, but 2 years ago, I think he shot over 40% from 3. So it's in there despite the aesthetics of the look. And really, I think this is what the Warriors need to embrace. Steve Kerr's been saying it all offseason that we're just going to get threes up. I want guys shooting three-pointers confidently. You saw it last night. Just no hesitations. Jonathan Kuminga, especially, 7 three-point shots, made 4 of them. No real hesitation. You see the green light. Compared to last year where, you know, you see that thought process. Every time he's open from 3 and people are daring him to shoot, you see the thought process of, oh, wait, am I supposed to shoot this? Oh, yes, I am wide open. Okay, let's put it up. And it's just the key to being a good three-point shooter is just that confidence and to the point where you're not thinking about it. And Kuminga even said the same after the game yesterday. Just said, you know, I'm not thinking about it. I'm letting it fly. You're basically trusting the work that you've done in the offseason, where I'm sure these guys are shooting upwards of 45% in their offseason shoot-arounds. So just translate that into just calm, cool, collected, confident shooting. And that's what we saw last night. Buddy Hield lets it fly. D'Anthony Melton, a huge weapon because he can shoot off the catch. Great compliment to Steph Curry there. My first and most obvious take is the Warriors are going to shoot a lot of threes. I am not going to be upset if they lead the league in three-point attempts because of their weaknesses. We already know this team lacks a proven number two scorer. It's going to have to be in a committee. This team struggles to get good looks at the hoop, struggles to even get good looks in the mid-range. I believe they were 26th in the league last year in terms of points on two-point attempts. So basically, the Warriors are scoring from the three-point line at a higher rate than most other teams. They're not going to find a lot of success in the paint. And thus, you need to trust the law of larger sample sizes and just cast threes. A little bit, well, obviously, we don't have Klay, but we have a lot more willing and able shooters, so more three-point depth. There's a lot of different ways that we can get guys open. Steve Kerr talked about simplifying the offense just a little bit. Get guys moving off the ball. It's still a very unselfish ball. But I think part of what is tough, especially for new players coming to play with the Warriors, is learning to play with Steph Curry, which is a good thing, but it takes a little while to understand, you know, when Steph's moving, to find him in his spots, to cut and get out of the spots that he's running to. And it just takes a big feel, and it's a very complicated system. And you see it even in the Olympics, the best players in the world, it takes some time to get used to playing with Steph Curry to fully optimize this motion offense. So what Steve Kerr's really trying to do is, he said he wants to simplify the offense, you know, still stay unselfish, but just make it a little easier to kind of pick up quickly and just get the ball rolling and get everyone their touches, get everyone their shots. They will figure it out. Steph Curry will get his. That is not something that we're worried about. And I think with this kind of more holistic three-point emphasis, the Warriors are going to find a lot more success. They're also going to find a lot more variance. Three-point variance is a huge thing in the NBA these days. But in the aggregate, in the large sample sizes, you see teams that shoot the three more than anyone else, the Celtics, the Mavericks, The Nuggets, those are the teams that have been great and gone far and won championships, obviously, recently. So you have to deal with the variance, and you have to have a changeup when the 3-point shot, which is your go-to fastball, isn't falling. And that's something that the Warriors don't really have, and we're going to get into that in a bit. It's something that the good 3-point teams like the Mavericks do have, where Kyrie can just go into an ISO. That's a good changeup when the 3-point shot's not falling. The Celtics, you can have Jaylen Brown slashing to the hoop. That's a good changeup. You have other ways to score and get easy buckets. That's something the Warriors don't really have, except there's hope for. The hope is in none other than young budding superstar, hopefully, Jonathan Kuminga. He is the one guy on the Warriors that can get easy buckets, especially in transition. I forget, I mean, he set some sort of dunks record for the Warriors last year, like most dunks in a season in the franchise in however many years. My point is that him and kind of Andrew Wiggins, a little bit more in the past, but last year, Wiggins really just didn't have that same impact attacking the hoop, nor is he a great finisher. But those are the two that could really use their athleticism to get to the hoop, create for themselves, and get some easy buckets. So we're going to get a little bit into more of a segment. We're going to call it the good and the bad, more so looking just at what the Warriors did in the offseason and kind of the moves they made and just kind of what it looks like going forward in terms of just style and what we're going to have to address as well. So let's start with the good. First thing, De'Anthony Melton. Very, very good signing. Got him on the mid-level exception, I think about $12 million. Yes, we lost Klay Thompson, but we were able to sign Melton and Buddy Hield to essentially replace him. Obviously, Buddy Hield replaces the 3-point shooting, but Melton was the true prize here. A true two-way backcourt player. No disrespect to Pajemski, but defensively, we're not quite sure what Pajemski is yet. Melton gives you one of the best point-of-attack defenders in the league. We know that when you play with Steph Curry, the most invaluable trait that you could have as a shooting guard is to be able to be a point-of-attack defender. Steph, for all his greatness, that is his Achilles heel, is just kind of that on-ball point of attack. We never use him in that role. So you must have someone else like a young Klay Thompson, who was one of the best point of attack defenders in the league at that point. And now a De'Anthony Melton brings that back to what the Warriors can do. And it really unlocks a lot more lineups behind that, gives you some freedom, especially if you can shoot the 3-pointer off the dribble, off the catch, which we know Melton can do. Yes, it's a little more smaller sample size because Melton's never really been a true scorer. I think he's in like 9 points per game, although he's been hurt for a lot. So maybe he's more like a 10-point scorer in the past. But I think he's only 25, 26 years old. So there is some runway. Like I said, there's been some injuries. So he's continuing to grow. And if you're ever going to get the best out of a player like De'Anthony Melton, a culture like the Warriors, where they turn winning players into true, very winning players, for lack of a better term. Melton, great fit, great get by Dunleavy. I really think that Melton, if we're going to have success and if we're going to make a playoff run, Melton's impact is going to be, second to none, other than maybe a big leap by Kuminga. You saw in the Olympics the lineups that Steve Kerr liked to use, and honestly, no one but Warriors fans would have thought that Jrue Holiday would be starting in the star-studded Olympic lineup that some people were saying was better than the Dream Team and made them the best teams in terms of talent ever. We'll never really know, but it was up there. And of all people, Jrue Holiday is logging minutes with Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant once he started. So you see the importance that Steve Kerr places on somebody that can be a point of attack defender, as well as knock down the three like Drew. So I like to hope that De'Anthony Melton will be a poor man's, or maybe a semi-poor man's Jrue Holiday, and fit like a glove. Looks like he's going to be in the starting lineup. I'm sure it'll be interchangeable with Pajemski here. And that's also part of the other good is, well, despite being dangled in trade talks for Markkanen, Paul George, whoever, not dangled, but being inquired about, Pajemski held on to by the Warriors. Lakeup thought of him as a potential all-star down the road. Maybe he will be. But Pods gives you, again, a winning player. He is a ball handler. And just like Melton, you need another ball handler around Steph. Pods is a connector, right? He makes the right pass, he can get into the lane. not the best scorer or finisher for himself, but the fact that he can create for others, open up shooters, just do all the little things. That's what Pods does best. We also want Pods to let it fly. We want him putting up 8, 9, 10 three-point attempts per game. He shot, I think, 38% last year. He's a good shooter, shot well in college, looks a little unorthodox with that push shot, a little high riser, but he's shown he can knock that down consistently. He also pretty effective as a step-back three-point shooter, a late shot clock, and he can clearly handle, you know, a primary playmaker role as the main ball handler. The true question with Pods is, when you put him next to Steph Curry, can he defend? We know he's a great off-ball defender in terms of anticipation, drawing charges, led the league last year with 38 charges drawn. That's crazy. Can he be a point of attack defender? I don't know. And for that reason, he probably needs to pair with a Wiggins when he's in a GP2, although now we're talking a pretty small lineup with a Steph Pajemski GP2. These are kind of the lineup questions that you're going to have to figure out when you get all the offensive goodness from Pajemski on the back end defensively. How do you shore up that back line? Another option would be playing the two bigs. You know, you're talking about playing Draymond and TJD behind it. Now you have some rim protection, which is another way to offset a lack of point of attack defense. So all in all, the good here is I think the backcourt, especially the backcourt depth here, that rotation of Steph, Melton, Pods, I really like that. That's going to be a strength of the Warriors, assuming all can stay healthy. And you can even pair Melton and Pods together. I feel like they would work pretty well. We haven't seen too many of the non-Steph minutes where both Melton and Pods are on so far in the preseason, but I do see that going well because they're both winning players that will move the ball and make the right play. All right, the second good thing that we've observed already and that we're hearing is just that mindset that the Warriors are going to commit to playing up tempo. They're going to commit to be more efficient in transition. And that is especially true if you want to be good on defensive transition. They were terrible last year because we all know the Warriors are going to turn the ball over. Steph Curry with his careless left-handed passes. Draymond Green's going to have some turnovers. That leads to transition. Can we get back in transition? Can we find ways to not overhelp and give up wide open threes in transition? It's going to come with playing up tempo, right? You're a little more free flowing, but it sounds for all intents and purposes that the Warriors are committed to playing up tempo. They're going to use the depth that they have. They have potentially 13 players who should be logging true NBA minutes. They have a lot of depth on the bench, a lot of versatility. They have athleticism. Guys like Kuminga are probably one of the best transition players in the league. So when you have that much depth in college, think of it like this. You are pressing, full press, rotate your players. Play as many players as you can. Everyone's giving you high energy, high effort. That's how you're going to offset the lack of true number two scorer. You're going to offset the lack of spacing, and we're going to get into that when we get to our bad section about how our front court doesn't have great spacing with a lot of the lineups. You're going to have to get out. You're going to pressure the ball. You're going to get turnovers, and you're going to have to get out in transition, and then you're just going to have to let threes fly and create your own spacing. They have the depth. They have athleticism on the wings and Kuminga and Wiggins. Buddy Hield, Moses Moody, decent athletes, not the quickest, but they're not terrible actually in transition because they can shoot the ball. And then lastly, like we talked about earlier, point of attack defenders, ball pressure between what's it say? Wiggins, Melton, GP2. Those are three premier point of attack defenders in the league. Draymond Green put pressure on that ball point of attack when you want him to be in more clutch situations. Even Kuminga and even Moody, nice, long, strong athletes, can be point of attack defenders at times. So these are the ways that you're going to offset, again, the spacing and scoring deficiencies by just getting out and being committed to the run, too much football, committed to being up tempo and running. So I like the fact that that's the shift. And then lastly, the other great good is the defense is going to be better this year. No disrespect to Klay Thompson. It just wasn't working. We were just getting blown by so much and giving up open threes on the back end by helping. Kyle Anderson, a great get in terms of defense, just does everything that Draymond Green does for the most part in that stretch four or even five role. Makes good decisions on the offensive end, so he's not really a liability. He can be a two-way player. again, the shooting's not the best, but it's enough to keep teams respectful of some spacing there. So KA, great defensive addition. D'Anthony Melton really talked about great defensive addition. Last year, when the Warriors got Draymond Green back, we'll call it post-All-Star break, they were seventh in the league in defensive rating, and that led them to a 19-10 record after the All-Star break, which is fifth best in the NBA. Before the All-Star break, for the whole season, the Warriors were 15th in defensive rating, and so you can see that, I mean, that probably means we're in the mid-20s before Draymond Green came back post-All-Star break. A big reason for that, TJD's emergence as a rim protector. You saw what it did for the defense. You saw that we can get out and run. We can get some dunks, some lobs. But most importantly, protecting that hoop made a huge difference. So that way Draymond Green can play that four where I think he's at his best. I think he's best being able to get out, switch on to defenders, switch on to wings, switch on to guards, and be able to kind of leave the hoop and have more free range and be able to do what he does best and know that there's still someone coming in to help him at the hoop. Okay, with all that good, let's get into the bad because we know the Warriors are still going to have some question marks. We talked about the front court shooting. So we're talking if the biggest puzzle in terms of lineups that every Warriors fan knows is how do you play Draymond Green and TJD in that front court for all the defensive benefits we just talked about, but then also have Jonathan Kuminga at the three, right? The biggest question is, can Kuminga play the three in terms of offensively? Can he space the floor? Can he knock down enough shooting where you're getting defenders respecting that three to create space? Otherwise, the offense, your Steph Curry, your Melton, your Pujemski, there's nowhere to work if there's no spacing. So we've seen a little bit of it. I think that was a starting lineup in game one of the preseason. It didn't go well. Last night, there's a few minutes of it. I actually don't know how well it did, but for the most part, that shooting, we're going to have to find some front court shooting. It helps that Kuminga seems to be a more confident shooter, like we talked about. It helps that I think Draymond Green's three-point shot is actually his 40% or 39.5% last year. It's not quite a farce. He changed his release point. He releases it a little bit higher now with that follow-through. And there's a reason he shot much better last year. A huge jump. That same release looks a little higher still in the preseason, and he's been knocking them down. I think it was just a mechanical adjustment, and maybe he is a 37% three-point shooter, especially from the top of the key, and especially when he's shooting it confidently. We already know his first three-pointer of the game is always going to go in, and then we'll see if the second, third, and fourth go in from there. But that's part of getting that front court shooting better, but that is going to be the biggest thing because the only other true stretch five that we have on the roster is Quentin Post, and he's just a two-way guy, and we have no idea what he's going to provide for us. We talked about it. The other bad is lack of quality shot generation, right? The Warriors aren't going to get much easy at the hoop. They don't get to the free throw line other than Kuminga. They don't really have an isolation scorer. I mean, it's Steph Curry, but that's a different type of isolation scoring. They don't really have anyone that can break down the defense, basically attack the hoop and then kick it out to shooters. It's going to be very hard when the shot isn't falling and that three-point variance is kind of at that low undulation. How are the Warriors going to find ways to stop the bleeding and just not go through these huge droughts that we saw last year? That is why the Warriors had so many huge blown leads. A 20-point lead wasn't safe a lot of the time, and there'd just be these, you know, 5, 6, 8 minute portions where they would just not score a basket, and they're not getting to the line either. So that's what they need to figure out. That's why you need a number two scorer. But there again are ways that they're just going to have to kind of power through, play good defense, get out and run, and Kuminga just gets going. Last year, I think we talked about the percentage of two-point buckets. Well, also, they are 26th in the league in terms of points in the paint, and they're 28th in free throws. So no lie, we're not getting easy points. So that's the good, the bad. We're going to get into a lot more good. We're going to get a lot more bad as the season goes. But after two games of the preseason, we are 2-0. The three-point shooting looks to be the best ever that we've ever seen in the NBA. So problem solved, right? Who needs a number two scorer when you're shooting 55% from three? Guys, it was so nice to be back. We will have another Preseason game, I say Sunday against Detroit. So we'll revisit. We'll probably do one of these a week until the season starts. But I'm excited to be back. Prediction. Now, we're not going to get into predictions yet. We'll do a predictions and expectations show later on. But enjoy for now. It's nice to be back and have something to look at other than fantasy football on my phone. Buys me a couple hours from looking at the Yahoo Fantasy app. So now we can just absorb all that lore as we want. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Stack and Dub is going to be with you all year for year two of the program. Once again, I am Chris Chin. Peace, love, and Stack and Dubs.